What's going on, everybody? It's time for the Binge Boys podcast, episode 233. I'm your host, Logan, joined, of course, by Tanner and Matt. What up, boys?
What's Hello. Good?
We out here. We out here living. We out here cheeseheading.
Hell yeah. We got a game in T-minus 1 hour.
Well, couldn't get here soon enough. I'm glad there wasn't time between us being done and the start of the game for you to throw the head on.
Yeah. Gotta keep it on. I gotta like, there's just some sort of stigma that if I take it off, we lose. Fair. So, yeah.
Apple just sent me a notification that says too many of my passwords are the same, that I need to change them. So that's what I'm going to be doing tonight after tonight's episode.
What are they going to do? Lock you out?
No, they just kind of like, I just like looked at my passwords because I was just telling Tanner before I started recording that you ever like go through like your saved password list on your phone or computer and just see how many passwords you have in there and how much like old stuff could be like removed and whatnot. Yep. And I just did that. And I had a lot of crap in there from years ago. And there are so many it says you have several passwords that could be compromised if like somebody guesses one of them. So with that said, that's a security hazard and I'm going to change that. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's where I'm at. But
nice.
The Binge Boys podcast is where you're at. And
well, let's talk passwords for a sec. Logan, what's your favorite password that's like still in use?
That's still in use. Yeah. One that I love is password 1234.
Sorry.
I don't personally use that for any of mine. Okay. I'm not gonna just be out here be like, yeah, this is my social security number.
Dude, this I thought we've slightly gotten away from our self-doxing roots, so I need to try to get us back there.
Well, I won't be revealing any of my passwords, but I will reveal to you, the listener, that if this is your first time, welcome. If not, welcome back. The premise is each week, my co-host and I break down the hottest in TV and film. And every Thursday, we come to you with an episode of The Run Through, which is hosted by myself and Megan and Emily, as well as Tanner. And sometimes Matt will jump in. Sometimes Jordan will jump in. Sometimes, you know, assorted people will jump in. And where the premise is we break down a movie in full. We break it down piece by piece, talk about it element by element, and kind of give it an in-depth review. Kind of go back and review movies that came out before The Binge Boys was a thing. Like, we get a chance to go and review movies that, you know, we didn't get a chance to back when they came out or released. So it's kind of a fun way to go back and revisit some old favorites and maybe revisit some that we hadn't seen before or whatnot. But either way, every Thursday you get an episode of that. So this Thursday we've got Disney's The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
What a lovely one.
Coming to you with Tanner. The following week, we've got Tropic Thunder with Tanner. The week after that, we've got Halloween, 1978's John Carpenter's Halloween. And then the week after that, we've got Gone Girl, 2014 Ben Affleck movie. So we got some good ones coming for you. And, you know, just be on the lookout every Thursday.
There it is.
That's a deal.
Tanner, it is 2021 and everybody is on their hotness and fitness journey. And one of the biggest aspects of that lifestyle is eating healthy and meal prepping. Most people have no idea where to start. They're overwhelmed by options and they don't know what meals suit them best for the goals they want to achieve. But luckily, Prepped and Ready has the solution. Prepped and Ready Meals delivers high quality, fresh meals with health and fitness in mind and with a variety of healthy, low-calorie, but delicious meals. They can cater to anyone's personal needs. If you live in the greater Atlanta area and you're interested in meal prep made simple, you can go to PreppedReadyMeals.com and use code BINGE15 at checkout for 15% off your first-time order. Check them out. Give them a shot. Prepped Ready Meals, BINGE15. Tanner, what'd you do this weekend?
Well, I was in Illinois visiting my sister, which was awesome, watching her play, and holy crap, they're good, and it's really fun to watch. And yeah, I didn't work, which was freaking awesome. So yeah, that's about it. Groovy. I met her teammates too. And yeah.
And what does that mean?
Nothing. And yeah, that's what I did. What'd you do, Matt?
I also was in Illinois. I was up in the Chain of Lakes area, up in Antioch. It's kind of like my little squad from school's like central meeting point. Avid listener Nick was there, so shouts. Loved chopping it up with that guy as always. But yeah, man, good stuff. Good lake weekend. Got some s'mores off. I was low key a model for my buds. They just were flicking me up by the fire. You'll know what it is.
I saw your I saw your story and was like, yo, model alert.
Dude, major model alert.
Model alert.
It was a good time, just hella friend time. So that's always a good time.
You need to have friend time.
Yep. What about you, Logan? What did you get into?
If I'm being completely honest, I have no remembrance of what I did this weekend. Let me look at my calendar here and tell you. Oh, last night I watched a movie called Malignant that we'll review later. I also recorded a couple episodes of The Run Through with Emily. She's on the Gone Girl and Halloween episodes that I mentioned earlier. Oh, and Saturday night, Catherine and I went over to Catherine's cousins, Sydney and Scott. Their place had a little dinner sesh. Scott cooked us some chicken and some chicken Alfredo. It was pretty tight. Then we had a little brownie and ice cream situation. It was nice to go over there and have a little double date with her cousin. Asked him to be the other usher in our wedding. He accepted. Shouts to Scott if he's hearing this. He might not. If he does, please text me, because I'd love to know if you listen, Scott. But yeah, kind of a low-key situation this weekend. Didn't really do much. Ooh, I started a show, but I guess we can talk about that in a few episodes, or I could just mention it now.
Yeah, throw it out.
Dude, I started Boardwalk Empire.
Okay. I'm going to start that next.
It is A1. I love it.
Yay! Dude.
So
mob shit.
After I'm done with that, I'm going to watch The Sopranos. I'm going to do it.
Yes! Dude,
I bet you didn't know this, but did you know that Steve Buscemi actually threw on the fire department gear on 9/11?
Yep. Yes. That's so dope.
Yeah. But I, too, have been on the internet between then and now.
Well... yeah, I'm all in on Boardwalk Empire at the moment, and I'm excited to continue because it's pretty damn good.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, that's my weekend, and I guess we could transition right into some headlines. We'll start them off. Not anything super duper crazy, unless we want to note the unfortunate passing away of one of the greatest comedians probably of recent, like maybe late 90s, like SNL period of time. Norm MacDonald. Hey, Tanner, are you eating your microphone?
Why? What's happening?
I don't know. Now it's not happening. Yeah, so whatever happened, it's no longer happening. Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
The unfortunate passing of Norm MacDonald the other day. He died after a 9-year private battle with cancer. He was 61 years old. His management firm announced his death. It said he had been battling cancer for nearly a decade, but was determined to keep his health struggles private away from family, friends, and fans.
Damn.
So
that private.
Similar to Chadwick Boseman's situation where he was secretly dying and nobody knew. He will be missed, man.
Big time
loss for the SNL community, for the comedy community. This guy was big. If you've seen an Adam Sandler movie, this guy was most likely in it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a real bummer, man. Rest in peace to Norm MacDonald.
Yeah. Just a real master of making anything funny, even trying to not be funny was funny when he did it. So that just really shows the mark of a master.
He had a different comedy style that not many comics take or do nowadays. That he really didn't care what offended you or what, you know, what did or didn't offend somebody. He kind of just said things and they were always hilarious. So, shout out to Norm MacDonald. Hopefully his fans and friends and family are finding some peace in that he's in a better place rather than fighting cancer.
Yep.
So, RIP to one of the greats. That was one that, I mean, I'm not a huge Norm fan. However, I do know quite a bit of his work, and it is one of the first celebrity deaths in recent memory that has actually made me go, oh, whoa.
Yeah. Like, same.
That, so RIP to one of the greats. Moving on, over the weekend, Venom, Let There Be Carnage released it, or not released it. It
had its
premiere. It had its premiere, and the reactions are very positive.
Very.
Some key details that I want to point out ahead of its release. Number one, the movie is only an hour and 30 minutes long.
I know. What the hell?
In an interview with Andy Serkis, he said the director, which, who knew that Gollum was directing Venom 2? he said that from the get-go, they planned on it being a tight, quick ball of fun. So hopefully it's really good. Apparently, the end credit scene is game-changing. Yes. So,
gotta stay for that.
There's a lot of rumors about Venom 3 that Tom Hardy has kind of been in, you know, he's been in a lot of press briefings and stuff lately, and he has said things that Venom 3 will happen, and Venom 3 is going to be something teasing along the lines of a Venom verse, exploring the multiverse. So that's a huge possibility. So there's lots of rumors of Venom being in No Way Home, maybe that mysterious sixth villain that they stumble upon. So, you know, we'll see. So
hype.
Just wanted to note that people are really excited about Venom 2. There's a lot of positive reactions about it so far, and that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. And that's about it. Movie comes out October 1st, so you bet you the Binge Boys will be on it.
Damn right.
Keeping it on that Marvel train, due to the success of the What If episode about zombies, apparently there's a live-action Marvel Zombies movie in early development. As in somebody walked into a room and said, we should make a Marvel Zombies movie, and someone said, okay, and that's where we're at. it says that there hasn't been a formal announcement, but Marvel Comics writer Mark Miller hinted at something in the pipeline in a recent newsletter. He said, quote, if my sources are correct, a little live action Marvel Zombies further down the line, but you never heard it from me. So,
well, yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
cool.
That's something that could be in the works, and we'll see how they explore it. And, yeah, we'll just see. Just a whole bunch of we'll see.
What ifs?
Next and last for headlines. Last night was the Emmys, the 2021 Emmy Awards for TV. I didn't realize the marketing behind the Emmys this year wasn't very strong. Usually you see an ad for it everywhere.
During
football or Instagram or Twitter, I usually see something. But until last night, I opened up the app and on Twitter saw like people commenting on some of the winners. I was like, oh, shit, it's the Emmys tonight. So I'm just going to quickly run through some of the major winners. Best Limited Series was won by The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. The Best Drama Show. Well, let's actually, this is a kind of a, I want to see the winners and the nominees. Here we go. Okay. All righty here. Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy. It was won by Jean Smart in the show Hacks.
Okay.
Never heard of the show there. I think it's on HBO.
Yeah. Yep.
Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series. This is Jason Sudeikis as Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso also beat Blackish, Cobra Kai, Emily in Paris, The Flight Attendant, The Kaminsky Method, Pen 15, and Hacks as the best comedy series. Let's see here. Let's get some more. Outstanding limited or anthology series. We've got The Underground Railroad, Mayor of Easttown, I May Destroy You, The Queen's Gambit, and WandaVision. And The Queen's Gambit took that one home. Lead actress in a drama series was taken by, again, Olivia Colman from The Crown. Matt, have you watched The Crown?
I have not. It does not overly interest me.
Same here, but it wins year after year after year. And
really?
I'm wondering if I'm part of the problem at this point and I should just watch the damn show.
Right. It's got to be something there at this point.
Yeah, same thing. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series, Josh O'Connor, The Crown. Outstanding supporting actor. We got Brett Goldstein in Ted Lasso. He won, beat out a bunch of his fellow Ted Lasso and SNL friends. Outstanding supporting actress, Hannah Whittingham, Ted Lasso. So Ted Lasso really cleaned up last night. I think they took home 11 or 12 Damn. Emmys last night, which is really good. Outstanding supporting actor, Tobias Menzies, The Crown. Outstanding supporting actress, The Crown, Gillian Anderson.
Jesus.
So
The Crown.
So The Crown and Ted Lasso is what you really need to be looking into. Outstanding drama series. We've got The Boys, Bridgerton, Handmaid's Tale, Lovecraft Country, This Is Us, Pose, The Mandalorian, and The Crown. And the winner was... The Crown.
Jesus, this is boring.
Outstanding variety special. And we got Hamilton won that one. I think anybody could have pointed that one out.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it, man. Very much so. It was a night for Ted Lasso and The Crown. All right. So shouts to Netflix for taking home all of The Crown, and shouts to Apple TV Plus raking it in with Ted Lasso.
Dude, it took them a while, but they found the winner.
Yeah, really. Netflix has really grinded for years, and they finally got winners. It's not like they have winners every year.
I was talking about Apple TV.
True.
Oh, well, Apple TV too. I mean, shit. I mean, last year they got nominees in a lot of their shows too, like The Morning Show.
That's true.
And stuff like that. You know what's funny about all these Apple TV shows, though, man? Not one of them has been able to hold me for season two.
Dang. Even Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso has been okay. It's been the strongest contender so far. And The Morning Show just premiered yesterday with season or the other day shit. With season two. But other than that, man, none of the good Apple TV Plus shows from season one have been able to hold me for season two. It's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah. I feel like I'm missing something by not having it, but then I've heard other people say like what you say. It's like just doesn't quite do it.
Yeah, so we'll see what they put out soon. They had a Apple event last week where they announced the new iPhones and iPads and stuff, and they also teased a bunch of original programming that's coming to the service in the next 6 months or so, and a lot of it like looks really freaking promising. But I'm just cautiously optimistic at this point.
Sure.
Understandable.
But in terms of main topics, we've got some good ones this week, kind of some variety. But first off, of course, we're not done talking about What If yet. We're still talking about What If. And in fact, we're going to talk about the What If from this week, which was What If Killmonger rescued Iron Man. Tanner.
Yeah.
What did you think of this week's What If episode?
I think no matter what the hell they do, Tony Stark just can't be stopped. No matter what.
Disagree. Well,
no, because it was all him that brought it down at the end. Wait, what?
I get Matt's joke.
Okay. Yeah, but it was...
Technically, he stopped himself.
True.
Or fate. Oh, shit. Fate happened.
Yep.
True. But he was there at the end, too, to bring out the, you know... the incriminating evidence, but I enjoyed it. I didn't think I needed this, but I enjoyed it a lot. I liked hearing his voice again for Killmonger. What the frick is Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah.
He nailed it again. The music was just as chilling and as good as freaking Black Panther was.
Yeah.
Still really the best music.
I really like the score callback.
You bomb bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. I mean, in terms of ranking it, I don't know if it's going to go up super high for me. It was just good. That's what I said. It's like, all right, that was good. Entertaining. Kind of, I didn't think I needed it, and I still don't really think I needed it. But Killmonger, it was nice to see a little more of him, though. Damn, I just dropped something. What the hell was that?
I won't drop the ball on giving my takes on
there
on
it is. Riff.
That was horrible. I hated every second of that.
You mean drop the fidget spinner?
I think the same thing. I'm starting to kind of get this thought process about these episodes of like, we don't need it. We don't need this. This is just to hold us over until I guess Venom comes out, and then after Venom, Spider-Man and
Hawkeye, or
the Eternals first before Spider-Man, but
I forgot all about that.
Hawkeye too. So I don't know how long What If is gonna last. I think actually
it's 9, isn't it?
I think it's 10 episodes.
I thought it was like a lot.
It should be like 25. They could make like 25. They could make them all year long.
However many they wanted.
Because I saw in the concept art there was one where Gamora was wearing Thanos' armor and had his sword. Like, I'm interested in that shit. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can see something. So far, Wikipedia only has the first 6 listed. So I'm not sure if they've released like an official. How many episodes will have What If season 1? This says it consists of 9 episodes, concluding on October 6th.
Really?
So if that's the case, I'm surprised.
Same here. I mean, I kind of knew they'd be in between 7 and 10 or 7 and 12, something. I didn't think they'd go. I want them to go like, oh, they could go all year long.
It's a lot of animation.
That is true. A lot of money. A lot of voice acting. I forgot about the money part.
That wasn't Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, was it?
Definitely wasn't.
Okay. It sounded like him, though. I had no idea.
I think they're trying to get people that are like, give me your best Robert Downey Jr. Brett impression.
Yeah.
And they just figure it out. But
God, he was a douchebag at the beginning.
At this point, I think they're literally just saying, quick, what's somebody's favorite moment from the MCU? And they're like, oh, when Tony Stark was captured. And then they take a little needle and they just like throw it at a board and it land on Killmonger. And they're like, sweet, how can we fit Killmonger into that story? And
I think they did a decent job. I think they like set the pieces up and like let them fall in a way that's like believable and consistent with the characters, at least.
True.
Yeah. All of the character behaviors are like true to the live action like selves of those characters. I think Michael B. Jordan, like Tanner said, did pretty swell as Killmonger again. What?
Drop a good old swell on us.
Yeah. Drop a swell on you.
Hell yeah.
I think that's where I'm at with this episode of What If. I mean, Matt, do you differ anywhere from me and Tanner?
Not really. I think it was pretty like middle of the road with this. Same. I think it like sort of what I look for is just like a new dynamic that we hadn't really seen, and just sort of seeing those two and seeing pretty self-centered Tony Stark. Yeah. First of his name. Tony Stark continue on like a little bit more. And just how he's like kind of close, but not quite to like the Iron Man suit and just like all that stuff. And also seeing how Killmonger sort of manipulates his way through that and still end up killing Claw again. So that was that was funny. I thought it was like a good, not great episode.
I agree. That's where I'm at.
I think
good,
we
not
definitely,
great.
Even if there's only 9 of them, I think we should definitely do a top 9 at the end of What If, just to kind of rank them all.
That's a good idea.
So, that'll be easy for me. That'll be easy for me so far.
Yeah, I think so too. Tanner, is that the fidget spinner that you're spinning?
Can you hear it?
That's what that noise has been.
Wait, is it this?
Yes. You should 100% quit
that. I'm gonna stop that. Okay. I didn't know you could hear that.
Oh my God. Shit. That is what that's been. That's what I said, that you were eating your mic.
So I haven't been eating my mic. Oh, well, wait, what if I do it right? Wait, I've been doing it down here too. Can you hear that? Son of a bitch.
Yep. That's what that's been. Okay.
Sorry,
mystery solved.
Viewers.
Yeah.
I've been a little fidgety.
Yeah, clearly. Maybe you should fidget with yourself or something rather than that.
I don't think you want that on camera.
No, let's move on.
All right.
Tanner and I had the fortune of watching a movie last night entitled Malignant. And before we get into our thoughts, let me tell the people at home, in case they don't know, what Malignant is. Malignant is a horror film by James Wan, starring Annabelle Wallace, and it is about a woman named Madison, played by Annabelle Wallace. It says Madison is paralyzed by shocking visions of grisly murders, and her torment worsens as she discovers that these waking dreams are in fact terrifying realities. So, this movie, rated R, it's about an hour and 50 minutes, directed again by James Wan. It was released in theaters and on HBO Max simultaneously. It came out 2 weekends ago. We just now got the chance to catch it. Tanner, we will go full spoilers ahead. I know our friend Matt doesn't care, especially about the horror
genre. You're not gonna, by the way, at all.
So, Tanner, give us your play-by-play as you're watching this movie, your emotions.
Scared. 30 minutes. Scared. 45 minutes. Scared. 1 hour. Scared. 1 hour 20. Scared. 1 hour 30. Turned to you and went like this. It was kind of like a moment like this. Like, shit. Yep. Freaking blue holes after that.
Yep. It was.
And as I slept, dude, I slept on it yesterday. And I just think I woke up this morning, I'm like, that was fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great, man.
It was a great concept until they showed it.
It was a great concept until the last 25 minutes of the movie.
It turned into a freaking John Wick movie or a freaking Game of Thrones scene or something like that. It was really freaking disgusting, first of all.
Yeah. First off, the gore in this movie was over the top.
Okay. Freaking disgusting.
A it was like, little too much.
How many times did all? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
How many times did you, me, and Catherine go? Oh,
yeah.
Like, why? Not, head smashing. Like, God, and they showed every bit of it.
This movie is the classic meme of they had me in the first half.
Yep.
Because this movie had all of us in the first half, and we were
intrigued.
We were intrigued.
Yeah.
We were curious. We were theorizing.
Yeah.
However,
and
the movie takes a hard pivot at one point, and it immediately is like,
what
the no.
It literally went straight, and then it took a turn to Stupid Town.
I think that this movie did one thing right, though. I think it was entertaining.
Oh, it was.
I think this is what happened. This movie was produced by New Line Cinema, which is also the producers of all of James Wan's other horror movies. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think. I think for a long time, James Wan has wanted to make this movie and nobody trusted him. But after years of building billions of dollars in the Conjuring franchise, New Line was like, you know what? Make that passion project that you've been stowing away for a few years. And James Wan was like, okay, I will. And this was it. And it just didn't deliver on all the fronts that I think his other horror movies do.
I know. I think it was too bad.
I think it was very entertaining.
It was.
Throughout, even at the end, it was like cool to watch, but it just, the concept just got
blew
ruined.
Up in itself.
It just ruined. Okay, Matt. So let me break this down.
Yeah, bring it down. It's so weird.
Let me break this down for you the best I can. So imagine yourself.
You can't even explain it.
Okay,
I tried to explain this today to my friend, and I just was like, "Okay, fuck this. I can't. There's like, it's the weirdest thing. You got to watch it."
Okay, I think I've got it. Imagine that you start to have visions of people getting murdered by a being.
Okay.
And you don't know what said being is, but eventually, as the plot unravels, you realize that the being was your imaginary friend from when you were a child.
Okay.
And it also turns out that your imaginary friend wasn't so imaginary. That was actually a piece of you that you had locked away in your brain at a young age.
That's
no, but you're making it sound too interesting. The face came out of the back of the head. The back of the head opened up and the person was running backwards because it was in control. And she had two faces. It's the same thing.
Essentially, Matt, conjoined twins, but at the brain instead of the body.
Wait, like imagine all of this and yeah. Twins.
Twins. Tanner, yeah. I wish you understood that.
I don't, but I'm laughing because your voices.
Because it's funny.
Yes.
Twins. Imagine conjoined twins, but at the brain level. And rather than separating, they said, oh, shit, if we separate them at the brain, then they'll both die.
Right.
So we'll cut off the limbs of the other twin, but leave the brain. And the other twin is kind of been in the back of the main character's mind for her whole life and is finally choosing to it's not great, bro.
Yeah, like there's it sucks. I could see there's a lot more ways to do this wrong than right. Like there's some ways this could be like done well, I feel like, but just not from what you're saying, not how they did it.
And from the get-go, like they do a really good job of like trying to sell us on this demon that's haunting her, but in reality it's her that's haunting herself. It's
yeah.
Like and then in point, the end when they fully embrace this villain of herself being the villain,
geez.
She literally walks into a police station and just starts stabbing people and cutting their arms off and legs. It was everybody. A bloodbath. It was not good.
That's a mess.
And then of course they do the cheesy whole bit of like, of course, one of the main character's best friends busts in the room and is like, you're not this, you're better than this. And it wins over the demon in the end. And yippee. It gets a 2 out of 5 from both of us because it had us in the first half. It. Huh?
I kind of want to go to a 1.
I don't think it was that bad though until the last 25 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
if we did half points, I'd give it a 2.5 because I don't think it deserves a 3, but I think a 2 also might be too low.
I'd go down to a 1.5.
Really?
100%.
Tanner, we were all in on this movie until the last 30 minutes.
I know. We were literally like theorizing and we were interested and it was awesome. And like all of us, like we're just like looking, like picking apart the whole movie. Like, what the fuck is this going to be? And then
Catherine said, and I quote, that was the dumbest movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Dude.
Isn't that right, Catherine? She can't hear me. But either way, Malignant, you probably could skip it, but because it's on HBO Max, it's spooky season.
It is spooky. Yeah.
If you guys want a fun, if you're having some friends over and you want a fun, stupid movie to throw in the background, this is it.
If you like slashers, honestly, that's yeah, one.
It's a mixture between slasher and paranormal, so.
And it was scary at the beginning. I was terrified. I was under the blanket.
Yeah, I was really scared at first, but they just didn't do it. They just couldn't stick the landing, which is unfortunate because everybody that told me, Megan included, shout out to Megan, she said, I heard it was dumb. I heard it was dumb. I heard it was a waste. And I said, I trust in James Wan. He makes good horror movies. I trust this guy. And he let me down, but that's okay.
He let us all down.
He let us all down. So Malignant, if you haven't seen it, don't. Unless you want, like one of my favorite YouTubers, Jeremy Johns, if this would be a fun movie to watch if you're drunk.
This is true.
This is one, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. This would be a fun one to watch if you're drunk. So,
damn it,
Tanner.
Jeremy, what the hell are you doing? This kid's trying to get into the gate. Like, he's calling my phone to get into my gate because there's people coming over for this game. And I keep on, oh my God. Okay, I'm done. I'm focused now. He's in. We're good.
Malignant. We hated it.
Yes, we did.
We didn't hate it. It's not fair to say I hated it. They just lost us.
Rate it on your terms of enjoyment level. I rated it a 4 out of 5 on enjoyment. But in terms of movie,
you got a 4 out of 5. But in terms of a movie as a whole,
2.
2.
Dang. Yeah. It was like writing,
watching.
It was like writing the beginning of a paper. The first 2 pages are incredible, and then you run out of words to say to reach the, you know, the word limit, and that's what happened.
That's the most beautiful analogy you've ever used.
I know. That sounds so smart. What the hell?
That sounds like really, really good. Like, you pour your heart and soul into the first 2 quarters of the essay, and then you're like, ah.
I still need 1,000 words. Shit.
That almost awesome. Feels like maybe how they wrote the script. They had a really good concept, and they were like, well, shit, how do we end it? And they did a horrible thing. But Malignant, check it out on HBO Max or in theaters, but don't spend $13 and snacks to go see this movie. Just watch it at home with some buddies and a case of beer.
Yeah, 2 or 3 cases of beer and a bottle of liquor.
Preferably so you forget the movie.
No, just drink whiskey on rocks and then you'll be okay.
Yeah, that'll be it. And lastly, to close Binge Boys 233, we're going to talk about our top 5 favorite ghosts.
This is going to be good.
In celebration of Malignant.
That was not a freaking, what would you call, I don't even want
an honorable mention. Yeah.
No. Yeah,
I don't know if she's getting the honorable mention.
He Gabriel.
Gabriel was the demon.
His name was Gabriel.
Yeah. That's not great. But top 5 ghosts in movies and TV. So we got our top 5 ghosts. And maybe next week we'll do like monsters from monster movies or something.
Yeah,
keep it on the spooky season train. Woo-hoo. Here, or maybe Halloween shorts. Who knows? We'll see.
Oh yeah.
So
Charlie Brown better be the number one for a Halloween short.
I got a rock, bro. I've highly considered making my Halloween costume this year just like Charlie Brown's ghost costume. Having a bunch of like
trouble with the scissors.
Yeah, I had a little trouble with the scissors. And just carry around a paper bag full of rocks the whole night at like a party. That'd be so fun.
That would be awesome.
And just have like Catherine be like Lucy with that ugly witch the mask that she wore.
Yeah, that'd be
good. I got a pack of gum. I got a rock.
Man, okay. I can't wait to watch that.
Top 5 ghosts. My number 5 is the Flying Dutchman from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Damn it.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
The Flying Dutchman.
that's really all I got to say. There's not much more I can say about the Flying Dutchman. So, Tanner, what you got at your number 5?
So I didn't think that hard, but I put the like I didn't think about that part, but like him, but I put the Paranormal Activity ghost, I guess. He or she or whatever the hell it was pretty scary. So oh shit, what's happening? Oh, it turned to night mode. Never mind. Okay. Damn. Yeah, so oh God, right when I said the paranormal.
Ooh.
Yeah, but that guy.
Matt, what you got at number 5?
Well, I got my honorable mention.
Yes.
Ghost from Game of Thrones. No, I'm just kidding. I know it's not a ghost. It's just named like, Ghost. That's the joke here. That was a very Norm Macdonald statement there.
Yes.
My number 5 is Nearly Headless Nick from the Harry Potter franchise. He's very low. He doesn't really do anything. He's just kind of there. But he's still tight. And he's nearly headless. No one's talking about it.
True. Nobody is talking about it. my honorable mention is Ghost, the soldier from Modern Warfare 2.
Oh my God.
Who's That's not awesome. Actually a ghost. No, I'm just kidding. But
is he?
What?
Is he a
He could what? Be. He's a
Yeah, he was one of the fucking main characters from Modern Warfare 2.
But he's like so you know, never mind.
Yeah, you're right.
He's supposed to be like 4, a ghost.
Which my number 4 I feel like should be higher up on the list. In fact, I'm changing my number 4. No, I'm not. I already sent Emily my list.
Sure.
Number 4 is Danny Phantom from Danny Phantom.
Stay tuned.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I loved Danny Phantom growing up, bro. That was one of my favorite Nickelodeon shows. So, Danny Phantom. Tanner, yeah, dude. What you got at number four?
I don't know if he counts as a ghost, but Sinister.
Oh, the guy from Sinister?
Oh, yeah. He is a ghost, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I had a hard time with this list.
But his name is Bagul.
Oh, yeah, Basements with Bagul.
Wait, isn't that the evil frog from Max Keeble's Big Move? Bagul is my name. I like a swampy bog.
Maybe.
No, that's my Googles. My bad.
Yeah, but I got Bagul as number four. Bagul, that just ruins it.
You got to think that his buddies think that he has a pretty Bagul name.
Bagul.
I hate myself.
To get off that, my number four is also Danny Phantom. I think, but I think the real sleeper is in like whatever season changeover that was when his GF / friend Sam gave him the logo. Without that, like the logo for Danny Phantom, that's where you got cool.
It's true.
Guys, I don't know who that is.
Danny Phantom?
Nope.
That's a generational problem. Get educated.
I have no freaking clue what you're talking about.
You know the thing, Tanner, Matt, you know the thing about Danny Phantom is that when he was just 13, his parents built a very strange machine.
Dude, the one that was designed to view a world unseen?
What the fuck is happening?
Nobody is. He's a Danny Phantom.
Yeah, I don't have a clue.
Man, Tanner, we're going to have tomorrow when you come over.
Let's watch an episode.
Yes, please.
All right, I'm down.
Number three for me is Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Ah, damn it. That's a good one, too.
I thought about throwing in Stay Puft Marshmallow Guy, but Slimer's more iconic and intriguing as Slimer. So, yeah, Slimer from the Ghostbusters movies is mine. Tanner, what's your number three?
Put Annabelle.
Good one.
Ooh, yeah, there's not much to say about her. She's freaking horrifying. So, yep, moving on.
My number three is the Flying Dutchman on the list as well. I think what's the scariest thing about this ghost is that on his ghost craft, he possesses a perfume department.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He has a photorealistic Macy's.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
I like think back on that scene. And it's like, I can understand why my parents were so annoyed at this show, like being on all the time.
So stupid.
It's so stupid. My dad used to love it. He used to watch it with us. Logan, believe that.
My mom thought it was absurd at first, but then she would like watch it with us and she'd be like, this is kind of funny.
Yeah. It is funny. Still is to this day.
Doubloons. Don't drop them.
Dude, that's not okay.
Oh, SpongeBob is talking about not dropping the soap.
Oh yeah. What?
My number two, my runner up is the unnamed ghost / demon / haunter from Paranormal Activity.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, those are good ones. We'll be doing a run through of those pretty soon here in a couple weeks, so stay tuned for that.
I haven't seen those in so long.
Does it surprise you that I have seen the first one of those?
Yes. It's horrifying.
Yes, but also no, because when that first one came out, it was like a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, like it was one of those ones that cost like $10,000 to make and made like 50 million.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
Got to think that return on investment was pretty, which is why they made it into a franchise and buried it.
As always. Well, my number two is Malik. Because she, you know, the one, the nun.
Malik? Oh, from the Conjuring movies.
Yeah, she scares the shit out of me still. I had a dream about her recently. And it was a terrifying dream.
That theme music for her.
Stop. Ew, I just got goosebumps.
That shit's scary, bro. That nun movie's no joke.
Oh, that's a horrible. I watched that once with your sister and your brother, Logan, and I shit my pants.
Yeah. Quite literally.
Literally, okay.
Had to get new underwear.
Had to go. I had a wet fart central right there.
All right.
Well, okay. That's fun. So I had to look up. So I'll read it how I wrote it down. I have the dead army from Lord of the Rings. But then I checked their official name, the Dead Men of Dunharrow, the ones that like come back and like basically this clap cheeks in the last one in Return of the King. I don't know. I thought it was like a really cool like sequence, like Aragorn really like coming into his own.
Love the clap and cheeks reference.
I don't know why. It's
awesome. Are we all gonna have the same number one?
I don't think so.
I think we're gonna have three different third making predictions here.
What are
my number one favorite ghost is Charlie Brown. No, my number one ghost is Annabelle Higgins, the ghost of the woman who haunts the Annabelle doll.
Yep.
That kind of spins off and makes The Conjuring a successful franchise, but also was the real spirit that tormented millions of people. Or hundreds of people, probably. But yeah, man, I really enjoy those Conjuring movies, and the spirit that started them all and the true story behind it, the Annabelle Higgins. So shouts to Annabelle. She's probably dead somewhere. In fact, she is dead somewhere.
In the Warren's house.
Fun fact, the reason Annabelle Higgins is so terrifying is because Annabelle Higgins, what did she do again? Oh, yeah, she stole her neighbor's baby, climbed up to the top of a tree, professed her devotion to Satan and killed the baby and then killed herself. So
Jesus Christ.
Shouts to Annabelle for taking one for the team there.
I don't know if that's a good shout out.
No, it's not. In fact, if you don't hear from me tomorrow, it's because Annabelle came for me.
Oh, God, that's terrifying. Don't even say that.
Yeah, you're
right. I got to come to your place tomorrow. I'm going to find you.
I'm going to get a priest to come do a cleanse. Tanner, what's your number one?
I don't know who her name. I forgot her name, but La Llorona, the Curse of La Llorona, but mother, she's terrifying.
Really? That's your number one?
That was a scary-ass movie.
Yeah, it was. I'm surprised. I didn't know you saw it.
Of course. Your brothers and sisters are like, hey, let's watch a scary movie every single time we hang out, you know? So that's how I watch all my scary movies mostly from them.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I don't do it by myself. Hell no.
Yeah. Hell no.
No.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
I was going to put Casper, but I changed it.
Oh, yeah. That's how I was as well. Casper, he was on the top of a lot of people's lists. So I was like, that's a little surprising, but he is pretty friendly. So can't be beat.
You know, Casper, friendly ghost.
My number one is No Face from Spirited Away. He's kind of like a hero, but then he becomes a villain, but then he's just a weirdo at the end. So
he has no face.
He has no face. He's wearing a mask. Yeah.
Wow. Shouts to him.
Shouts.
Does he have a tight mask?
It's pretty no nonsense. Pretty much just eyes and a little mouth. That's what that thing do.
That's what that thing do. Well. That was our top five ghosts in entertainment. And that was episode 233 of The Binge Boys.
I feel like that's the shortest episode we've had in a long time.
Well, it is a little short episode, but ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. It's a quick one. It's a good little well, I mean, sorry guys, you're not going to have something to listen to on the way home from work now.
This is a tactical listen.
Yeah. It is a tactical listen. Listen to this while you're running some errands, while you're folding some laundry.
Yeah.
While you're doing the things that you do.
Yeah. I said that at the beginning.
Oh, well. What?
What?
What are you laughing about?
Oh, the suggested use cases at the beginning. Yeah, it does make more sense. You're right.
Yeah, but we had no idea.
Whatever.
What are you going to do,
man? Like I always say, tell a friend that wants to listen, leave that rating and review. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ooh. Say hey, where you at?